Hello and welcome to Her Ambitious Career, the success podcast for corporate women who want more from their lives and careers. Each week, we share career and leadership strategies to help you set stretching goals, own your value, build visibility and credibility, gain recognition, get paid, and confidently take your career to that next level. Whatever your ambition, let's do this thing. Now, here's your host and career success expert, Rebecca Allen. Ladies, welcome on in. This is episode 16, where we're talking about the five pillars of a healthy work culture. And I'm joined today by Leslie Carver of Carver Connections. Now, Leslie has a wealth of experience working with HR professionals and small business CEOs to help them develop inclusive and engaging work cultures. And I think Leslie's view of a healthy organization, we're going to hear from her in a minute, are really about two things. It's really about having consistent communication, consistent messaging, and also about helping employees grow and nurture their careers. So welcome on in, Leslie.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
So Leslie, we've been talking previously about this concept, about this topic, and we came up with quite an interesting way of looking at it, I thought. We sort of started talking about how does this work from the top down, basically. We were talking about how does it work at the senior level, right down to the individuals. So I'd love it if you could start off, if you could, by explaining what a healthy work culture looks like from the perspective of the C-suite, the C-levels, the leadership team, the executive. How would you say, what would you say the first most important pillar is, if you like, of a healthy culture?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind are the leaders have to set the examples. And I know when you and I had talked, we talked about the leaders walking the talk. And when I was thinking about this, the word that really came to mind was be the culture that you want to see. So if you are expecting people to behave a certain way or to react a certain way to a situation, you need to be that example for them. Because oftentimes, people don't maybe know what to do in a situation. And when they see how you handle it, especially challenging or emotional situations, they're looking to you to be that that example for them and that leader. And I think sometimes we can lose sight of we're so busy working on our job, doing what it is we're supposed to do, that we forget we have others that are watching, kind of like children watching their parents. And that's certainly not to minimize an employee at all, but we really have the opportunity to lead them and guide them and let them know how to handle different situations.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important, is it? I mean, there's nothing worse than having a leader. I've certainly been there myself in previous jobs that I was in, where, you know, the leader was kind of expecting me to perform in a particular way, but he wasn't prepared to.
Oh, absolutely.
Pull his finger out and do what he was basically asking me to do.
Right.
Like work weekends and things like that. I'm just like, this is crazy. You can't expect.
Exactly. That's a great example. Working weekends. And so as the leader, if you're saying, oh, we need to come in this weekend, all of a sudden there's a we element to it. And people are much more likely to follow you in that situation and to know you have a vested interest, not only in what it is you're working on, but also that employee. You're not asking them to do something you wouldn't do.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. So when it comes to, you know, really kind of engaging people and you know, one of the most common areas I found in my world is that, you know, pay is one thing, being paid appropriately for the job that you do. But I find that people find a lot more fulfillment and a lot more recognition and satisfaction when they're actually given opportunities to grow, to develop. What's your view?
Absolutely. Well, I think coaching and mentoring and training is so important. And when that is missing from any position, whether it's a leadership position or an entry-level position, like you said, that satisfaction isn't there. You know, you might accept the job because they're offering a salary or it's in a field that you've been interested in. But I think that can only go so far. And then if you're not careful, that bitterness will creep in. If you just sort of feel like you're a number, you're reporting to work, you're doing what you're supposed to do, versus having that connection with someone and either someone noticing an area A, that you want to grow in, or B, that they're even asking you, what are your goals? What do you want to do? Because when we think about a review of any kind, it should be a two-way street. It should be, okay, this is what we need from you. Now, what do you need from us? And oftentimes those two ideas can merge. But I also think leaders have to be proactive in that aspect, because it's so easy to say, we'll do it. We'll get there. We'll get you that training that you need. But eventually that almost falls on deaf ears, because the employee can be like, well, you said we would. 3 months ago, you said we would. But on the flip side, even if you receive an email that's advertising a webinar, I think if you forward that email to an employee and say, hey, I saw this and I thought of you, oh my gosh, I think that energizes them from the inside out. And it shows you're thinking and you want to invest in them. And who doesn't want to know that someone believes in them?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in my experience, I've kind of seen that this concept of recognition is a really multifaceted concept. You know, for some people, it really is about being promoted and about being paid appropriately. But right. For a lot of people, specifically women, actually, in my community, recognition can mean a much more complex web of things. And right. I think that being told that you're doing a really good job and being valued in that way, being treated like an individual, like you say, and being sort of singled out in a positive way and saying, look, there's this amazing thing that you would really enjoy and you would get a lot of value out of, like you say, I think is a really, really interesting way of doing that.
And I think realizing that women want to make an impact. I believe that we can go anywhere and we can do anything when it comes to a career. Women are very talented. I think they're very adaptable. So you can sort of serve in any role or you can lead in any role. But I think if you give a woman an option to make an impact, the sky is the limit. They're just not going to stop. And that for me is so exciting.
Yeah, 100%. And I think so long as that impact is also recognized, I think that's the
yes. thing. Absolutely.
Leadership, you know, that really right. has to be recognized as being valuable. But right. as you know, we kind of always explore recognition also as a two-way street. We have to learn how to recognize our own value first before we right. expect other people to do that for us.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And again, it goes back to that lead by example. So if you happen to be in the C-suite or you're in a leadership position, you remember how you got there and turn around and share that with others. And by example, show them how to celebrate yourself a little bit. Where did you grow? What opportunities do you have? And sometimes you need to find those opportunities as well. Yeah. And to say, oh, I want to learn more in that area. And yeah. then allow others to do it as well.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, which is kind of interesting because the third pillar that we were talking about is that idea of having opportunities to, you know, sort of being seen as kind of an individual, I suppose, and being treated differently because we're not all the same. We don't all have the same values. We don't all have the same ambitions. Right. And I remember when we were talking about healthy work culture, one of the things you said that was so important was that people should be treated differently.
Yes, absolutely. And that sounds kind of funny, but I can remember when my son had switched schools and we were in a whole new environment and the teacher had made the comment to me, I will be fair to everyone, but I'm going to treat them differently. And I thought, wow, that's really something. But what I learned is you have some children that can sit at a desk and they can read just fine. You have other children that if they can sit on a beanbag and open a book up or even sit outside on the stairs or in the fresh air. So then later when I got to thinking about that, how it applies to a work culture, I was actually in my garden and I have a very, very small garden and I realized the difference in my plants. And although my, you know, zucchini was planted in one area, my tomatoes were in another, they all needed different kinds of support or different amounts of water or a cage around them. So as they would grow, they wouldn't fall over. And then I realized, oh my gosh, employees are the same way. You have some employees that just need a little bit more nurturing, a little bit more, like I said, support is kind of the other word. And that's not a negative thing. It's not, I joke, tomatoes are the ones that need support. It's not bad to be a tomato in your organization. If you need that structure around you, all it's going to do is allow you to grow. You're going to be taller. You're going to produce more fruit that way. And as leaders, we need to recognize, what vegetables do we have in our organization and what do they need? Do they need a little bit of shade? Do they need to be planted in different areas of your garden? So you could put an excellent performer in one area, and maybe they don't thrive under that leader very well. But I think especially as HR professionals or managers, leaders of any kind, you know the value that that person brings. So maybe it's a matter of tweaking it a little bit, or making them transferred to another department, or even a project. That growth opportunity, again, you may not need an official training. You might just need a project to work on to have that moment to shine.
That is just the most sublime analogy. I love that analogy.
Good. I'm so glad.
It's so true. You know, you might just be in the wrong pot, or you might just be against the wrong wall, or you might be, you know, just with the wrong support.
Right, right. And it's no fault of the employee. It is no fault of the leader. But I think as a leader, we have a responsibility to bring the best out of our employees or out of our team, because the more they succeed, the more our organization is going to succeed. So it really is a win-win for everyone involved.
100%. I love that. And I think the thing that's so interesting about that, because I'm all about kind of purposeful career management, ownership, all that sort of thing. I think, you know, the message for me there is if you do find yourself in a situation where you're not able to thrive and where you're not really able to use your strengths and sort of show the best of you, then do something about it. Have a conversation.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe you spend a little time growing yourself a little bit, because I actually went through a similar situation where I just realized every day going into my job, I was drained before I even arrived. And I thought, oh, how am I going to get through another day? And I think all careers go through that at one time or another. But I think then if you can focus on, where do I want to grow? What is something new? Maybe it's a soft skill that you learn. I actually worked with a stylist one time. That was the most incredible experience, because although it had nothing to do with my job, learning how to dress for myself, for my career, it boosted my self-confidence tremendously. So then a different person walked into work because I felt more confident. Yeah.
I think those things are really connected, because I've always kind of had this perspective, like, I don't know about you, but I've got some like outfits in my wardrobe that make me feel powerful.
Yes.
And this is sort of an aside topic now, but I do have outfits that I'll wear for particular events, because they automatically just sort of anchor me into that position of just feeling powerful and knowledgeable and professional.
Confident. Right. Yeah. Right. You carry yourself a little bit differently, and then you project that to whoever it is that you're working with. If it's one-on-one, if you're speaking into a group, it's just amazing what that can do for you. And yet that was something you pursued on your own. And then you realize, I can do anything. And I think that's empowering.
I do too. So we've talked already about sort of the C level, the sort of top level of any organization, how important it is for those people to walk their talk.
Yes.
We've talked also about making sure that there are opportunities for growth and opportunities for learning for you. We've talked about this fact that, you know, people should be treated the same but differently based on their based on their interests, based on their aspirations. And I think needs is a really important factor there, because it's not just about rational and outputs and delivering. It is also about what we need emotionally and what we feel like it's the support we need, or the emotional support we need, whatever that might be. So the fourth pillar that we were talking about is more sort of the sense of team and how people kind of communicate in teams. And obviously how we talk to one another, how we treat each other in our teams is a very, very important aspect of our culture. So what are your thoughts on that one, Leslie?
Well, I think that's actually probably one of the most important pillars. Not that I would prioritize them, but I think if you have all of the other pillars together and your communication pillar is weak, your entire organization is weak. And I think we can all relate to being in a position at one time or another where there was lack of communication, or the communication thought, you know, the leaders thought it was happening, but it really wasn't hitting where it needed to be. And something that I'll tell you, this is not a program that I that I offer. But if your clients, anyone who's watching and works with you, I strongly recommend one by a company called Vital Smarts, and it's called Crucial Conversations. And just personally, it changed my life going through the program because I don't know if you have ever been in a situation where when the moment happens, whatever it is, you just don't think, or the words aren't there. You're kind of dumbfounded. Exactly. You're like, did that just happen? Did I not say anything? Or the opposite? Did I explode over? Yes. Yes. You've been there. And when I went through this training, it was a 16-hour training. I learned so much, but one thing that stood out that I always like to share with people is this thing we do where we tell ourselves a story about anything. And so an example that I'll give so everyone can understand is maybe you have a coworker, a leader, whoever it is, someone you see day in and day out, and they are wonderful and on time and just completely pleasant. And one day they are late for work and assumptions creep in. And the unfortunate thing with assumptions, they're usually not positive. We don't go, oh, well, this could have happened or that could have happened. Instead, we're like, well, was she in a car accident? Maybe she's sick. Maybe she's not feeling well. Yeah. When really, what if she stopped at the bakery to surprise everyone with breakfast in the office? But we don't do that. Mm. So when we're not communicating at all or very little, we're allowing a lot of negativity to creep in. And the term that Vital Smarts gives that is telling ourselves a story. And I have used it so much in my life that even my children, who are 9 and 17, know the phrase. And my son, especially, who is 17, will say, Mom, are you telling yourself a story? Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe I am.
You're like filling in the blanks for yourself.
It's, yes.
The way that I look at that is like when you do a sum and you do 1 + 1 = 17. Kind of like, right. How on earth did I reach that conclusion?
Yes. From that? And we reach it so quickly. That's the part I think that's crazy scary. Mm. So when you put that in a personal situation, it can make relationships messy. Yeah. You put that in a business environment, we have the messy relationships, we have poor performance, or if nothing else, just utter confusion. Yes. And we're not reaching the goals that we set for ourselves personally or professionally.
Yeah. And the thing that I've learned over the years, because I've also done lots of trainings myself, because I'm fascinated by the concept of communication.
Yes.
One of the things I find really interesting is this concept that communication isn't actually what you say, it's what's understood.
Yes. Oh, that's a wonderful way to say it.
It's such an interesting way of looking at it, because we speak and then we assume everyone's heard us. We assume everything's the same understanding. And the reality is, I think, is you speak to a group of people, two of them might have the same view of what you have from what you've said. One person over here has filtered it in a totally different way and is distorting it in a way that suits their view of the world.
Yes,
one person over here didn't listen at all. You know, one person over here is like Chinese whispers and has heard the completely wrong thing.
Right.
I think that's the reality. And when you're talking about healthy work culture, I think that's such an important point that, you know, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that when we speak, it's not necessarily being understood in the way we intend.
Right.
And for there to be effective kind of communication and for a culture to thrive, there has to be that understanding of ideas, of concepts, of action plans, of strategies, so that we're all on the same page.
Well, and I think that takes a lot of effort. And in today's world, from what I've seen, we don't always put that effort in, because oftentimes someone says, well, I sent an email. I told you we were going to be working over the weekend. Just those statements. Yes. And I heard another term recently that has helped about painting a picture. And so it can even be about vacation or a holiday. So you're planning on going away and you may make the comment, oh, I can't wait to go and rest. That's what I want to do is rest. Well, your family may not interpret rest the same way that you do. Your rest might be sleeping in. Right. Come on, Mom. We're going. We're going to go have fun. Yes. And you're like, oh, but I want to rest. But their rest is play, or, you know, whatever the case is. Or even with overtime, if we're working on a project at work and the leader says, we're going to be spending a lot of time working on this, we're going to be putting in extra hours. You might perceive extra hours as, oh, I'm going to work over an hour or two a week. They might perceive extra hours as, we're all in here on Saturday. Yeah. So again, if we don't paint that picture, and I think paint it in different ways, maybe you're verbally saying it, you're following up with an email, and in a positive way, want to be sure we're all on the same page. Mm. This is what I'm expecting. And then of course, having someone repeat it back to you, you know, what, without saying, what did I just tell you? You know, we're not making it childish, but to be able to say, okay, what does everyone think? And get the buy-in from the team. I think that makes a big difference.
I think that makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So Leslie, the last pillar that we were going to talk about was sort of connected to, you know, being treated as an individual, looking for opportunities, but it's really about understanding your strengths and yes. knowing that you what your strengths are, recognizing what they are, and being in situations where you're playing to those regularly.
Mm-hmm. That's really important because I'm someone who was in an environment where I was not using strengths. But the crazy part is I didn't realize it for the longest time. So as I've done a lot of studying, a lot of training, a lot of personal growth and just life experience, I realized that I don't like numbers. Numbers and I just, we don't get along. Now here's the funny part. I spent time in an accounting department and I was like, what on earth was I doing? And why did my leader not recognize that I didn't understand? Now, what she did do was support me in different ways and give me a different training and different options or whatever the case was. And then I went into payroll. What am I doing? It just, it was the craziest, craziest thing. But I think so often we're told you need to be well-rounded. You need to overcome your challenges. You need to push through. And I think that's true to an extent, but when we are aligning people and their responsibilities with where they're strong, mm-hmm. They are going to shine and the organization is going to shine. And I remember the first time I went on an HR conference, I was in Las Vegas and had never been to Las Vegas, had never been to this massive HR conference of probably about 15,000 people. I am literally standing in the middle of this place, picking up my bags and my notes and everything you get when you first arrive. And I was like a kid at Christmas. And I looked around and I thought, I am exactly where I am meant to be. And it was such a foreign feeling to finally be like, wow, I can make a difference. There are people like me. There is an organization that can support me. Now, fortunately, I had a phenomenal supervisor, an incredible leader that I was able to share all of this with. And when we finally started pulling together, oh, I am not good at numbers, or I panic. You know, so it's not that I can't add, but when I'm trying to balance something and why is this off and why is that off, it would take me three times as long to do something. So she pulled in a member of accounting who literally could do it in about 10 minutes. Yeah. And we realized, wow, from a productivity standpoint, if we can align people with their strengths and let them know they're not better or worse than something, they just shine in other areas. That's where we want to place people. Yes. And I think everyone is much more satisfied and we're going to see a lot more success.
I think my analogy of that, Leslie, is when we had to paint our flat. And okay. Me being me, you know, decided I was going to do it all by myself and it was going to be fine. And,
right.
And then I realized that it was quite an undertaking and that my strength was not in painting walls. And,
yes.
I called a guy. And of course, within about 2 days, the entire flat was done.
And beautifully, and I'm sure.
A very, very important lesson that day because, you know, just because you can paint the wall doesn't mean you should. Quite frankly.
Absolutely. That's probably the best way to describe our pillar. Just because we could do something doesn't mean that we should do something.
That's it.
And as a leader.
I also think that, you know, your experience is interesting because through doing that, it's like dating, right? You date people who you don't get on with, it doesn't work out, but you're kind of going through that process and trying on these different roles. You're working out what you don't want.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
you're working exactly. out, you're not strong. You're working out what you don't want to be around, quite frankly.
And you don't know when you're starting out. If you think about when you are graduating from school and you're starting your career, we have all of these wonderful ambitions and goals, we don't know what's out there, and we don't know what is going to come easy, what's going to be difficult and challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think as leaders, there is a tremendous opportunity, again, to make an impact. So mm-hmm. your title can be anything that you want it to be, but if you can help someone find how they succeed, you're naturally leading them. And I think we can do that regardless of our title. If it is a coworker, if it is even a leader that's above us, to be able to say, you're really great at whatever it is, the leader may not realize they're so great at that. So again, it's a two-way street. We can empower leaders and leaders can empower us as well.
100%. Leslie, thank you. I've really, really enjoyed that. That's been really interesting talking about those five pillars. And listeners, if you are interested in connecting more with Leslie, you can. She's actually added one of her free downloads to our show notes. It's called Leslie's Recipe for Employee Retention. So you can just grab your copy in the show notes and you can connect with Leslie that way. Also, from a personal perspective, if you are struggling with identifying your strengths and really understanding where you're strong, you can always connect with me too. I'm going to put a little link into the show notes too, so you can connect with my calendar and you can book in a 15-minute strategy call with me, and we can talk about the challenge you're having in your career right now, and we'll help you leave with an action plan from that call. Thank you so much for listening in, everybody. Thank you, Leslie, very much.
Thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
Thank you, everybody, and we will see you again soon.